This is Jean McMillan. Today I am interviewing Sarah Morrison. She's going to talk about her experience working the polls, the Salisbury Association, and anything else her heart desires. Today's date is November 9th, 2021. This is File 42, Cycle 4, and here we go.
Good morning, Jean.
Good morning, Sarah.
How are you?
I'm fine. Good. Please tell me your name.
My name is Sarah Kester Morrison.
And it's K-O-E-S-T-E-R,
correct.
And your birth date?
April 29th, 1947.
Oh, I've got you beat. Your birthplace?
Kansas City, Missouri.
All right. When did you come to Salisbury?
Well, my husband and I decided in about 2004 that when he retired, he was still an attorney working in New York at the time, but when he retired, we would like to find some property in Litchfield County and build a retirement home.
So what a wonderful idea.
It was. And as fate had it, of course, the first day out, we found the place that we would most like to spend the rest of our life. So we ended up buying the property. But given the fact we wanted our son, who was still in high school, to be able to finish out his high school years and even have his first year in college coming back to his old home, his old friends.
Sensible.
We didn't really start building the house until 2007, and it wasn't really finished until a year later.
The house is never finished.
No, it's not. But it was 2016 before we became full-time residents of Lakeville.
And we're so glad you're here.
Oh, we are thrilled. We just feel like, you know, we've died and gone to heaven a little bit early.
Yes.
Wonderful community.
It is. It truly is. Now, you have the house, but I think you have an architectural background.
Well, I actually thought when I was in college that I wanted to become an architect. So that was the emphasis of my studies for many years. But they finally put me at a drafting table the end of my junior year, and I discovered, lo and behold, that I really did not like drafting that much. And this is in the day of slide rules, not handheld calculators.
Yeah.
So I kind of switched my major and got my degree in architectural interior design. But I really always loved architecture, and I loved history. I had almost enough for a history major, minor, but didn't really pursue that. Anyway, I've always had a great interest in history. So
that must have helped you tremendously in building your own house.
Oh, it was. And really, from the time I graduated from college, I've been involved with architectural projects. Mm-hmm. I was living in New York, and my building went co-op while I was and I joined the board of that, but was the only director not working. I had retired from a career on Wall Street, and I was the only director who was not working daily at some job, and I became the director responsible for the renovation of our building. So that was my first kind of real-world experience.
And from there, you just kept going.
My husband, Tom, and I met, and we got married, and bought a house in Weston, Connecticut, and for the next 27 years, we converted that house from what it was into our dream house, kind of. So that was a big project.
And it helps to have practice.
Yes, and I worked with a nonprofit in Reading, Connecticut, nearby, and was head of the Buildings and Ground Committee, and we built a new education center while I was there. So that was my biggest project at that time. And then when we tried to build our own house up here, I'd already had all of this experience. So
it was a wonderful training for you.
was.
Now, I think I met you first at Alice Gustafson's 90th-something birthday party.
That's probably correct.
I met you and your husband, and we chatted a bit, and I believe that you said that you were going to get involved with politics in some fashion. And I saw that you were at the town hall, our recent election, and you were a poll worker. Tell me a little bit about training for poll worker. Did you have any training?
Well, this town has so many wonderful attributes, but among the greatest are two incredible registrars of voters, one for the Democratic and one for the Republican committees, town committees. And they are exemplary of exactly how a registrar should act, and they work well together, and they organize volunteers to help with voting, such as our most recent election day.
How many volunteers did you have?
Gosh, they would be in a better position to
tell you. Well, how many were there when you were there?
Okay, there were probably, in the area where I was, and I was a tabulator, there were probably 7 or 8 of us in that one room, various places. There were other workers in various other
But
levels.
In the room where we were voting.
Yes.
Is it a mix of Republican and Democrat?
Oh, I think so.
Okay. And what does the tabulator do?
Well, I stood to the side of the box where people, after they have voted, will put their ballots. Mm-hmm. And I just make sure that the ballot has gone in correctly and been accepted by the machine before the people walk out the door. And if it is rejected for some reason.
Mine was.
The machine tells you what the problem is, and if it's something that they can, re-enter the ballot that simply wasn't put in straight or something, they do that. But if it's something that requires a new ballot, then I send them back to the ballot
person
distributor, and they take the old ballot and cancel it and give them a new ballot.
Okay. Well, I had that interesting experience because I couldn't see with the glasses fogging up and the mask.
Yes. And then, very importantly, I give them a vote. I voted.
You give them the and I got two of them.
Oh.
Right side and left side. Somebody, as you walk in, somebody has to check off your name.
Yes.
And it's given, in this town anyway, it's street first.
Right.
And then they do the name. And then you go someplace and you're handed a ballot.
Yes.
And then you go someplace else and you fill it out correctly, generally.
Yes.
And then it comes to you.
Yes.
Right. And you get your sticker.
And you get a sticker.
Wonderful. All right.
Feel good about your having done the part you were needed to do as a concerned citizen.
It's a civil responsibility.
It absolutely is.
And it's something that I feel strongly about. Even though I'm not particularly interested in politics, I still think it's a civic duty. And I do try to be informed of a decision, particularly if it's a referendum question.
Absolutely.
It's so important. Now we're going to move on to how you came to the Salisbury Association. And you have a marvelous story about meeting Chris Brennan.
Yes.
Please tell me about that.
Well, when I lived, I came from Kansas. And as a youngster, my family would frequently go to my father's birth town, Marysville, Kansas, where I had grandparents and great aunts and family would gather there frequently. And it was a very magical place, a very important place to me personally. And since 2000, I've worked with the board of directors. The family home was given to the town as a house museum. And it had a rather extraordinary property that was developed in the days when the town was an early settlement on the plains, one of the last jumping-off spots for people who were taking the Oregon Trail from St. Joseph, Missouri. This was a convergence of seven major trails westward in 1860. And anyway, I've worked with the board of directors and done a lot of historic preservation on the house and trying to restore the historic gardens. But during some of our work on the house museum, we discovered 7 layers of old wallpaper on the wall. And we found one in particular, one of the early ones, that was very intact. So we could really had a very excellent idea of what it was, what it looked like, the design, the color. Mm-hmm. And we thought we must find an expert in historic wallpaper so that we can try to duplicate it as closely as possible to what my great-grandfather had originally installed there.
What room was this now?
This was a dining room. The house was started in 1873, mm-hmm. and it was at that time a two-room house.
Mm-hmm. And kitchen, it expanded.
Right. But this was the kitchen dining room, and discovered that Wright in Salisbury, Connecticut, was the most knowledgeable, wonderful person, mm-hmm. Chris Brennan. So she worked with us, found us an incredible wallpaper, and I must say, when we got it up, I walked into the dining room, and we had most of my great-grandfather's original furniture, furnishings, artifacts, and I almost fell down on my knees. I was so overwhelmed, because this is exactly, pretty much, how it looked when he walked into the room and my great-grandmother.
Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, it was. And historic preservation has been a major, really one of my most ardent loves in life.
I could tell. I'm so glad that you let me borrow that booklet on your great-grandfather's house, because it was fascinating. Chris Brennan got you into the Salisbury Association.
She did. And I had written a series of books for the museum, mm-hmm. but the major one was the memoirs of the house, because it had an interesting story how it developed mm-hmm. over time. And so in 2017, I had just finished that and was needing a break, because I had worked on that a couple of years. And Chris said, you know, I had wanted to get involved with an organization, and the Salisbury Association was the one that I had really
discovered had
early on.
Yeah.
But we had barely moved full-time to Lakeville.
You had a lot on your plate at that point.
And I really had felt, I felt like I really needed a break, but Chris was persuasive, and mm-hmm. I was keen to get involved. So here we are.
Good. 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 You actually joined the board in 2000.
I think. I started the association was doing
strategic
planning. I think it began the fall of 2017.
Yeah.
And I don't think I was officially elected a board member until 18.
Okay. And what was the WOW exhibition part of the publicity committee?
Or
was it separate?
Not really. And this was probably 2018. Jerry Stanton, mm-hmm. who's lived in Salisbury all his life, was a fundraiser for the Catholic Relief Services, but he was getting close to retiring and had a great interest in art and had begun collecting a lot of winter sports art years before. And he had talked to some people at the Salisbury Winter Sports Association, the group that does mm-hmm. our ski jumps every year, about having maybe an art show sometime in connection with the February ski jumps. And because I had worked with them and set up exhibits a couple of times for SWASA, they had Jerry talk to me. And over a course of several months, we decided that this would be a great thing for the community. First of all, it would sort of highlight the unique aspect of Salisbury, and one of them is certainly the ski jumping.
Oh, yes.
Secondly, we're an area that's loaded with talented artists. It would be a way of showcasing some of our local artists. We wanted to do this in a number of different venues. So we ended up having artwork in 5 different businesses in town.
And we'll get to that in a minute.
Okay. Okay.
Who was on the committee besides you and Jerry?
We had Alan Blagden.
Okay.
Who is a renowned artist.
Oh, yes.
Fantastic. And so the three of us kind of formulated a plan and implemented it and had great
fun. And it was wonderful. Salisbury Association was involved, but you said you had businesses. What were the 5 businesses that displayed art? I know the White Hart was one of them.
Yes, and if you go up and down Main Street, you can see
most
of them.
So it would be the Main Street that had them all.
Well, yes, we had Sweet Williams, a coffee shop and bakery. We had William Pitt, Sotheby's was another location.
Okay.
Neo Restaurant was yet another.
You've done well.
The Salisbury Association's home, the Academy Building, mm-hmm. was yet another. Mm-hmm. And Dan Dwyer, bookshop,
oh, okay.
Johnny Cakes,
yep.
was our...
All right.
Is that everybody?
Yep. You did very well.
Okay.
I'm proud of you because I wouldn't have known that. And you got the high school involved.
Yes, yes. The exhibit was fairly amazing because we had international and nationally known artists as well as, and some of those pieces were not for sale but part of the exhibit. Mm-hmm. And among some of the artwork we had was original cover art from Yankee Magazine. They very kindly loaned us several original works by Beatrix Sagendorf, who was one of the co-founders of the magazine.
And what was the name again?
Her name was Beatrix, Beatrix, and it's Sagendorf, Sagendorph.
Ph, okay. Thank you.
And, so we had those, and we also had a piece that Arthur Goetz, the famed cover artist for New Yorker magazine, mm-hmm. had done as a potential cover for the New Yorker, and that was actually being offered for sale, and we did that by silent auction. So, having this magazine cover art, I spoke with Warren Prindle at the Housatonic Valley Regional High School, who was excited about the idea, and he ended up teaching a course to some of his students on magazine cover art. And then the students created these most incredible covers, very clever mm-hmm. for a New Yorker type magazine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And one of the areas that we had the exhibit being hung in was a large room at the White Hart Inn in Salisbury. So we had extra wall space in that room, and the White Hart Inn management, who was so helpful in every way, allowed us to mount all of the 20 cover pieces that the students had prepared. And then we had a contest.
Oh,
where we had local, anybody who was invited to come review the cover art, and they could vote on their favorite covers. So it was really so much fun. We had children, that were toddlers and grandparents and families.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody came in. Everybody could have a vote, pick their favorite.
Was there
and
a prize?
Then, of course there was a prize. We had one of the art committee members, Alan Blagden, had not only painted a wonderful picture for the exhibit, But he also did some drawings that we used in some promotional materials, including a wonderful ski jump line drawing for our brochure. And we had that drawing framed, and we gave it to the winner.
Oh, so wonderful.
We had a reception for the students to, thank them, and so they could,
be proud of what they
accomplished. Be proud of what they did.
Yes. Well, that's so important.
It was just the most fun, wonderful time, and lots of families came around, and it was like following like a treasure hunt because artwork was in all of these different locations.
It was a community, I won't say a community endeavor, but it was something that all of the community could share in.
Right.
And when did the exhibition WOW run?
It started mid-December. It was December 14th of 2019. Mm-hmm. And we closed it with the end of the ski jumping competition. These are the Eastern Junior Ski Jumping Championships, February 9th of 2020. So we got in just under the wire with the shutdown of COVID.
Right. Oh, right. That was an absolutely magnificent endeavor. And we're all very grateful that you were willing to take it on.
Well, we had, lots of help.
Yes, I know, but somebody has to manage it and keep it organized, and that's a big job, and you did a magnificent job with that.
Thank you.
Now you're on the website committee.
Yes.
And who's on that committee with you?
Jeanette Weber, the president of the association, has been our lead on that.
Mm-hmm.
And Cynthia Walsh, who's our current treasurer.
Yep.
And I have been the three. And we are so close to getting it absolutely up and running. We are giving final comments to the web designer.
Who is the web designer?
His name is Rocco Botto.
Rocco?
Botto. He lives in...
West Cornwall?
Yes. I think it's West Cornwall. It's one of the Cornwalls, but I think it's West.
Okay, I need to talk to him.
Okay. I'll give
because
you
the of the oral histories.
Oh, yes.
We've got 406.
Right.
So
and he's been working to get them transferred from the...
Alrighty.
Holden, so.
What have you been doing to change the website?
What we have really done, what we are hoping to accomplish, is to really help the community understand what the Salisbury Association truly is, what it does, and each of its committees, and to give a lot of history about how each of the committees came to be, because it didn't just happen overnight. The organization was begun in 1902 when life was very different.
Oh, yes.
And today we have a committee for land trust, one for the historical society, and community events. And each has grown and developed according to changes in our society and the times. And what we are, have done is to give a lot of the history for anyone who is interested in learning about it. Put it in one place, and it will be accessed on the website.
Well,
thing is we've included a history about Salisbury itself, which of course goes
that's
back
where the oral history ties in.
Well,
in
that's
a way.
Actually,
in a way.
Yes, of course, yes. So
we cover the history of Salisbury going back from about 1880 right up to today, so that ought to be part of it anyway.
Yes, it definitely is. So, we hope that Salisbury has a really fantastically interesting history, and we want our younger generations and the older ones too to really understand and appreciate it, because only by understanding it and appreciating it? Will we want to try to preserve it and make sure that it is with us for
it's with us, and if we can learn from the past.
Exactly.
You said something about a future committee on historical buildings. Is that in the future?
Well, what I had said was the Historical Society, one of the, there are lots of plans that each of the committees has, sort of brainstormed about. And one of the things that makes Salisbury and Lakeville and the towns of Salisbury so interesting are the various types of historic architecture we have in, home, the residence, as well as some of the buildings. Mm-hmm. And the Historical Society has talked about having architectural tours and walking tours, and
which, of course, has already been done.
Yes,
previously.
But we would, renovate that and expand upon that. And so I think that this will be something that we will be developing
in
over
the future.
Time. Right.
Is there a committee for this?
Right now, the Historical Society Committee is under their aegis right
I'm
now.
I'm asking because I am on the Historical Committee and have been on it for 10, 15 years, and we've mentioned it, but our focus at this point has been on other things. So I would say this is a future endeavor that we'll be working on.
Yes, and I think, though, it's kind of moving up on the
It's moving
level.
Up on the level. It's coming up into the inbox.
Exactly,
at this point.
And it's really a very typical thing that happens with the Salisbury Association, probably any organization. Mm. Depends a lot on the trustees that you have at any given moment.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
Or members of a committee. And Linda Yowell, who had been a trustee years ago, has come back on the association board.
Mm-hmm.
And she is an architect, and she and Chris Brennan did a lot of work in the, I think it was the 1990s, when Salisbury was, I'm sorry, I don't know the dates.
That's all right. We don't have to do that.
But anyway, when Salisbury was got its historic National Register.
Yeah, I was doing something with the National Register, and I think we were going through a bicentennial celebration. I was out of the country at that point, so I don't really remember.
Yes, and we weren't here. So.
Before we close, is there something that you'd like to talk about that we haven't covered?
I think we've covered plenty.
Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Jean.